Better alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
Cool. Hello and Merry Christmas. So this is Christmas. And we're talking about Christmas jaundice baby.
Christmas jaundice baby.
Christmas jaundice baby.
The yellow baby of Christmas.
The yellow baby of Christmas. The one you don't know about. But before we do that, as it's Christmas, now, we don't normally do presents, but, Mr. Smith, I saw this and I just thought, I have to get him that. So, where is it? There you go.
Oh, thanks. I haven't brought you anything.
I didn't intend on buying you anything.
Literally one of the worst films ever made.
a Catwoman mug.
Fantastic.
The Halle Berry Catwoman.
That's amazing. Thanks, mate.
I'm looking for a mug for myself for my office. And saw that on Amazon. Was like, I have to.
If you haven't seen it, we've done an episode on that.
We have done an episode on the Halle Berry Catwoman.
Yeah.
Link here now, maybe. Cool. So, yes, Christmas time, hence the jumpers.
Yes.
And the hat. I don't wear this all year round. And we're doing Black Christmas, the 2006 one.
Yeah.
So, this originally came out in 1974.
Yep.
Remade in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Remade again in 2019. Have you seen all of them?
I've seen the original with Margot Kidder and Olivia Hussey.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago. And no, that was the only one I'd seen up until we watched this one. I have not seen the newest one.
It's crap.
I've heard that.
It's really bad. Not because it's feminist, which is why some people think it's crap.
Hmm.
I'll just say feminism, all for it, but it's not a plot. No. So yeah, but we're going for the first remake of this from 2006. So
yeah,
Black Christmas, written and directed by Glenn Morgan. He did some X-Files episodes.
Yeah.
It stars Michelle, here we go, Trachtenberg. Trachtenberg's the writer, isn't it?
Trachtenberg is the writer.
Yeah.
And he's the director as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Chinberg.
Tin.
There's no extra T.
There is.
There's not. Whatever. Buffy the Vampire's sister.
Yeah.
Right?
But only for the last two seasons.
What was that character called? Who cares? Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Lacey Chabert. Chabert. Lacey Chabert. Katie Cassidy. Kristen Calvin and Andrea Martin, who was in the original Black Christmas in 1974,
yes.
And it stars other people. The plot of this film, Beth.
The plot is, on Christmas Eve, an escaped maniac returns to his childhood home, which is now a sorority house.
Woo!
Girl power! And begins to murder the sorority sisters one by one.
Nice.
Simple.
That's pretty much the...
That's the film.
Part of the first one.
Yeah.
But this goes weirder. I was going to say harder. Weirder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
So our story begins, obviously, at Christmas. And we're at a sorority house. And a sorority house, for those that don't know, is a thing in America where it's like at university.
Yeah. it's college.
Not, yeah, is it like halls, but...
Kind of. It's like they generally like a house, and they...
Yeah, like the frat bros.
Yeah, you got frat fraternities house. And sororities. Fraternities yeah. is the guys, sororities is the girls, and you have to get kind of sworn in. It's very culty.
It's very culty, and they all live together, and...
Yeah.
Anyway, but they're all college students, essentially, right? So we're at Sorority House, and we've got a young lady hitting the wine already. Nice. Wrapping her prezzies and writing cards. When suddenly... there's a noise coming from inside her wardrobe.
Mm.
But she just assumes it's coming from the air vent in the floor.
Yes.
Yes. But there is someone under her bed. We don't quite see who. We just see a hand, don't we?
Yes.
Who jumps up and wraps a bag around her head and stabs her through the eye with a pen.
Yep.
Cue the title card. Black Christmas. We're now over, after the title card, at an insane asylum. And an orderly is making his way past the cells with Xmas dinner, I guess. But he's dropped a milk carton on his way in, which has prevented the security door from closing properly.
Yeah, it's a hell of a convenient like cycle of events.
Also, it doesn't really go anywhere.
No.
As he's handing out the food, and he says Merry Christmas to each of the inmates, until he gets to one of them, and he says Happy Birthday, because in the cells is the man who thinks he's Jesus. I actually lolled. Yeah. It's actually really funny.
Yeah. I took it as it was Jesus.
Maybe it is. Yeah, making a little cameo.
Yeah.
Also, someone has snuck onto the wing through the not shut properly security door, dressed as Santa. It's not a killer. It's just a guy dressed as Santa. Apparently he's lost. He's looking for the children's wing.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there's like a ward for the criminally insane? And this same place has a children's ward. This seems really irresponsible.
It's like the kids' wing of Arkham.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Is there a children's ward of this psychiatric hospital?
Yeah, maybe. It's like the whole thing with Michael Myers again, when he's in the same place from being like 6 years old to an adult. It's like, surely there's a different facility for like adults and children.
It does seem weird. It's like you keep these dangerous criminals, like murderers and rapists and stuff, and then just down the road is the kids' hall.
Yeah.
Like, it's close enough that this guy got lost looking for it.
So yeah, he's lost. And the orderly rushes back to check the door, while a security guard, who just appears from nowhere, not been in the scenes at all, he's just sat in the corner, he informs Santa, "This ain't no place for Santa, even on Christmas." All right, bummer.
Yeah, this security guard speaks in cliches.
Yes, he does. Santa notices that one of the cells says Billy Lenz on it, who is a man who killed his family at Christmas when Santa was a boy. It's like, I remember him.
Yeah.
When I was a boy, he killed his whole family at Christmas. The security guard opens up the hatch on the cell and invites Santa to have a look. Check if he's been naughty or nice, Santa. Santa declines.
Yeah. This is like cliche number two. Why don't you stick your head in? Check if he's been naughty or nice. The Christmas puns.
They should have got Bruce Campbell to play this role.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like this guy's been sat there bored for ages and he's like, oh, a different person to speak to. Check out my Christmas puns.
The guard also mentions that Billy tries to escape every year, like he's the fucking Joker.
Yeah.
Obviously, not been successful so far.
Yeah.
They open up the hatch to the cell that Billy is in and they hand Billy his food. And we can see that Billy is yellow.
Yes.
And I don't mean like he's yellow. I mean he's physically yellow.
Like the guy in Sin City.
Yeah, that yellow bastard. Yeah. He's yellow. Jaundice. Anyway, elsewhere, across town, wherever, there's a couple that in a car and they're saying goodbye to each other. And the lady is saying they'll be spending Christmas Day together, but right now she has to be with her sorority sisters.
Yeah.
Girl power. Don't college kids go home for Christmas?
You think that they seem to have waited till Christmas Eve? Like, and it's Christmas Eve night, as far as I'm aware.
And they're still hanging around. Yeah, like, most still, like, of the drinking, college is left.
Yeah. But... so they're going to travel back on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And then, like, as the film progresses, the storm, this snow gets... It's a stupid idea. You should have gone ages ago.
Yeah.
Like, the snow gets worse.
You get, like, a winter break.
Yeah.
Which must be, at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But, okay.
You don't just finish, like, Christmas Eve.
Anyway. So this guy... This guy's name is Kyle.
Yes.
But in my notes, throughout the entire thing, it's Carl. Because I did watch this sped up.
I did that with Kate Cassidy's character. I was convinced she was called Carol.
She's called Kelly.
She's called Kelly.
So in my, because I'm not going through all my notes to change it again. So we might say Kyle. We might say Carl. Who knows?
Played by Oliver Hudson, anyway.
Who's that?
Is what's her name? He's the brother of Kate Hudson.
All right.
Is it Kate Hudson? Might not be Kate Hudson. No. No, I don't think it is. It's one of... they've got famous parents. Doesn't matter. I'll remember that.
So this is Kyle, maybe Carl, and who after his girlfriend leaves, he's still in the car. He then receives a phone call, which is alluded to be from another girl in the house.
Yes.
Yes.
But we don't see... We can't hear what's being said. She's like yelling down the phone or something, and he's just kind of...
Yeah. Inside the house, we have Andrea Martin panicking because she can't find Billy's present under the tree. So Andrea Martin plays house mother.
Yes.
Which is kind of like, apparently this is like a full-time fucking job.
Yeah.
You're essentially like a chaperone for the sorority house. You look after all of the drunk girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a house father because that would be weird.
Yeah.
Maybe there is.
I mean, how does that, like, is it, what an odd job.
Yeah, I look after drunk college girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And I get to live in this house for free.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, so she's panicking because she can't find Billy's present under the tree. Apparently, the girls, who include Buffy the Vampire's sister, Gretchen Wiener, and Ewan McGregor's current wife?
Yes.
I don't know. His side piece, whatever. They've all done a secret Santa, and one of them has got a present for Billy, right? Claire, who is the girl who was upstairs writing the card, by the way.
They got stabbed in the eye.
Yeah, that's Claire, so remember that. Anyway, so yeah, Billy... It's explained later why they get a present for Billy. Anyway, back over at the crazy house, Billy opens up the hatch on his cell door and places a little present outside. The guard opens it and reveals it's nothing but a note, and it just says, "I'll be home for Christmas."
Yeah, I have several problems with this. First of all, he just picks up a present that's been handed to him by a mental serial killer and opens it without a second thought.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it's a handwritten note saying, "I'm going home for Christmas," and he doesn't panic that he's got a pen somehow. We've already seen the danger a pen can be earlier on.
Also, he doesn't call anyone. Huh? Doesn't like hit the emergency button or call for help or anything.
No, nothing at all. He just decides to like look through the hatch again.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, he's gone." It's like, that old trick.
The guard looks through the hatch to see that Billy is gone, and so he opens up the door and he notices a hole in the wall.
Yeah,
this is when Billy emerges from under the bed and stabs the guard in the neck with a candy cane he sucked to a point.
Yeah, because
he's great at sucking. But yeah, why not just the pen?
Yeah,
because
he's used the pen.
Because that's not Christmassy, actually. Yeah.
Could be a Christmas pen.
Maybe.
Could be one of those pens and it's got a girl dressed as Santa and then you turn it upside down and she's naked.
Maybe, yeah. Back at the sorority house, it's time to open Prezzies. But Claire isn't coming out of her room or answering the door.
She's dead.
Yeah, probably something to do with the fact she's dead. And there's another girl is busy on her laptop and refuses to come out. This is Megan.
Yes.
Turns out Megan is watching a video of her getting fucked by the other girl's boyfriend, Carl.
Kelly's boyfriend, yes.
Nice. On her laptop.
Yeah, I was like, at first it took me a minute. I was like, "Oh, she's just watching porn
of herself."
Oh no, it's her. Oh, and it's him. Right.
Megan hears some weird noises and decides to investigate. She deduces that the noise is coming from the attic, so she heads up to the attic and does the classic, "All right, who's screwing around? Come on, this isn't funny, guys." Yeah. She actually says, "Who's fucking with me?"
Yeah.
She then discovers Claire's body sitting in a rocking chair, but then quickly gets a bag around her own head and a few stabs, and then her eye ripped out by our unseen killer.
Yes. The eye motif goes strong in this.
Oh yeah, if you're a bit squeamish about eye stuff, strap yourself in.
Yeah, this is maybe not the film for you.
Yeah. There's a lot of eyes all over the place in this film. Cut back to the crazy house, and Santa is getting flirty, remember Santa from earlier?
Yes.
With a nurse, and he thinks he's about to get some puss. But unfortunately, he's killed by Billy, who then puts on the Santa suit and walks out of the asylum with the original Santa in a sack over his shoulder. No one notices the yellow guy walking out.
No. Not at all. They also, when he throws the bag over him, that arm has been hanging out of it through the entire thing.
Like,
nobody's
he walks
noticed.
Past people. Yeah. And that was just like, hey.
Just this arm, like, flapping about.
And there's a yellow Santa, a bright yellow Santa. It's really, this must be a rare thing. Any other bright yellow people? Oh, my God! Back at the house, Andrew Martin is insisting that they have to open Billy's present first. Apparently, it's a 15-year Delta Alpha Kappa tradition.
Yeah.
That they have a prezi for Billy.
Because the sorority house was Billy's house.
Yes, he used to live there.
Yeah.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead is the only one, sorry, is the one who drew Billy's name, but she's not cool with the whole giving a serial killer a present thing. Yes, and then it is revealed that Billy used to live in this house.
Yes.
Which is a very large and nice house. So.
Yeah, like the house mother goes, like, he didn't break in, he used to live here.
Flashback to 1970. So, in 1970, Billy was born with a rare liver disease that gave him yellow skin. It's jaundice.
It's called jaundice.
Just say
yeah.
It's jaundice.
It's not even that rare.
Yeah. just.
Like, it happens to quite a lot of babies.
Yeah. Just say jaundice. And his parents hated each other, and the mother hated Billy.
Yeah.
And the mother demonstrates this in the flashback by crushing a glass ball in her hand and sprinkling the shards into Billy's crib. What a bitch.
I genuinely thought she was going to start feeding it to the kid. I was like, wow, this film's going fucking hard. But no, it doesn't. Just puts it on the bed.
Flash forward in the flashback to Christmas 1975, and Billy's mom is still a bitch. And she tells her son that Santa ain't coming to see you because the Russians shot down his sleigh.
Yeah.
Which is plausible.
and topical these days as well. Like...
Little Billy then runs upstairs and finds a present in a hole in the wall from his dad. Well, Santa, but we know it's his dad.
Yeah.
And then he can hear his parents arguing downstairs. We then overhear that some other guy has shown up to kill the husband because he's going to be the husband now.
Yeah.
I think she actually says, this is my husband now. He's going to be my new husband. You suck. Billy then sneaks downstairs to see through the gap under the door his dad being bagged and stabbed.
Yes.
Which I guess is where he got the idea from.
He takes that on board for use in later life.
His mother and the new guy then bury the body in the crawl space, which Billy sees through a hole in the wall or something.
It doesn't quite explain how he got there.
It seems there's a lot of like little trap doors and alleyways.
It's a bit people under the stairs.
And like, this whole house
seems like he's climbing through the wall space a bit, and everything. So, but yeah, they're in the crawl space underneath the house, and he somehow gets down to there. And he's like poking his yellow eye through the hole again.
And so the new daddy, he chases after Billy, and Billy makes his way to the attic, so they just lock him in.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, stay up there.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't he get to the attic via the wall space?
Yeah, but so they don't know. They think he's just stuck in there.
Yeah, they padlock it shut.
Yeah.
They're like, ha!
Yeah.
And Billy just stays there.
Yeah, even though earlier he got down. I don't know. Even though it's like behind the drywall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which all comes into play later.
Yeah.
That you can get anywhere in this house without doors, apparently.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, they kept Billy in the attic. They didn't.
Yeah.
Billy could have left whenever he wanted.
Yeah. Cut back to present day, 2006, and the phone rings. They answer the phone, and it's heavy breathing and creepy noises, and a voice tells them to get out of my house. I'm gonna kill you. And the caller ID says it's coming from Claire's cell phone.
Yes.
Dead Claire.
Dead Claire.
Ooh. The girls argue, and Mary Winstead goes to walk off, but bumps into Weird Glasses Girl. This is Eve.
Yes.
Eve is weird.
Eve's definitely odd.
Like, Coke bottle bottom.
Yeah, she's
glasses.
Like the definition like of early noughties weird looking girl. Her hair's like pulled real tight back, and she's got these big old glasses on, and she, she's quite soft spoken.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Yeah. And yeah, so Eve gives Mary Winstead a glass unicorn as a present.
And her reasoning for it is really odd. Like, she goes, oh, I knew you'd liked all the Bible stuff and garden there. It's like, so you gave her a unicorn.
Are there many unicorns in the Bible? I don't know. There could be. I've not read it. Oh, yeah. And Mary Winstead is fairly ungrateful for this. She's just like, oh, thanks, weirdy.
It's quite a nice. Like,
it's very ornate, yeah.
If it's like a crystal unicorn, I mean, it can't have been cheap. It's not. I mean, it's plastic, clearly. But if it was, then it'd be quite a nice gift.
Cut back, another flashback to Christmas 1982, and Billy's mum and new daddy are banging on the landing at the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
I guess just so Billy can hear?
I don't know, yeah. It's like
weird. Like rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Your real dad's dead. But new daddy falls asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
too many rums at Christmas.
Too many rums. Yeah, mum's not happy.
No. So Billy's mum heads into the attic where Billy now lives and sits in a rocking chair all day long. And his mum strips in front of him. And then we cut to 9 months later and there's a baby. So it's kind of implied that she banged her own
son.
She
banged her own son.
Yes, and this child is the result. So anyway, we now have little Agnes. And then we cut back to Eve, and it kind of implies that Eve is Agnes. The way it cuts is
it's a very deliberate ploy.
Very much. So, Andrea Martin has found a present for Eve under the tree, but Eve has mysteriously disappeared.
Yes, she just fucks off.
Yeah, and it's revealed that Eve's mother was a legacy, which means she was in this sorority before. Yeah. But her mum is dead, and she has no boyfriend or family or anything. So we don't really know where Eve's going.
Also, it's kind of weird that they have like all these legacies, because like legacy plays into it a couple of times when they talk about it, but technically this has only been a sorority house for like 10-15 years.
Yeah.
So I mean, and how long are people at college for?
Like 4 years maybe.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, like legacy is like, oh, you lived here like you were three sororities ago.
Yeah. Okay. Meanwhile, Mary Winstead is packing up her things in her room, and there's a weather report on the TV that there's a storm coming.
Yeah.
Of course. Back downstairs, the phone rings again, and this time the caller ID says it's Megan calling. Remember Megan, the slut?
Yes.
Yep. And the voice on the other end says, "She's my family now," and that's some other creepy stuff. And then they hang up, and someone says, "That was not Megan." Well, duh.
Yeah. All right, detective.
Some of the girls head up to Megan's room to see where she is. But as they open the door, someone jumps out and scares them. It's Carl, or Kyle. And when his girlfriend asks, when his girlfriend Kelly asks, "What are you doing in there?" He says, "Well, I wanted to spend the night with you, so I snuck into this other girl's window."
Yeah, it's like, yeah, your window was shut, so I climbed through Megan's window.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Is Megan in there?" And he goes, "I don't know."
Yeah. It's a bedroom.
Room. Yeah. It's just Megan's room open out into like a three-bedroom fucking unit.
They suspect that he made the call as he was in the room. Oh, and by the way, the laptop is still open with the vid of Carl and Megan banging paused on it.
The point where you can see both their faces is really handy.
While his girlfriend, Kelly, checks Megan's room, Carl berates all the girls and calls them fucking bitches because they don't get it.
Yeah.
They're not from here. They don't understand what it's like growing up here with the legend of Billy Lenz looming over everything. Flashback again to Christmas 1991. And Billy, still living in the attic, has received a present. It's a telescope and a card that reads, "Be good for goodness sake." Billy instantly uses a telescope to spy on the neighbours, naturally.
Yeah. Like,
it's the first thing everyone does.
He's pretty well adjusted, so.
And he sees the neighbours having a holly jolly time, and this enrages Billy. Downstairs, his mum, who's now a quivering wreck from years of alcohol abuse, she's giving Agnes a prezi, and it's a doll. And then they hear a clatter from above, and Agnes inquires, "Is that Santa's reindeer?" And the mother replies, "There's nothing up there." "Except jaundice, baby."
"Except your jaundice, brother daddy."
Brother daddy. Mother heads back to the kitchen to grab some Christmas cookies, but not before lighting a cigarette on a gas stove, because she's a classy lady. The phone then rings, and the mother answers it by saying, "Merry Christmas." "Merry Christmas." "Hey, Merry Christmas!"
Because she does seem like a jolly person.
Yes.
that's all up for the Christmas fucking festival.
I mean, she's constantly drunk, so I don't see why not. And then the voice on the other end just says, "She's my family now." Mother rushes back to the living room to find that Agnes is gone and the doll she gave her has had the eyes pulled out. So mother and new daddy, well, at this point just daddy, I guess, rush up to the attic to find nothing, then rush back to the living room to find Billy stabbing Agnes in the face, and he pulls out one of her eyes and he pops it in his mouth. So she was not in the living room. They ran upstairs.
Yeah.
He wasn't there. They came back to the living room. She was there.
Yeah. It's okay. Like Megan's room.
Yeah.
He just missed people.
Just didn't see her there.
Yeah, didn't see her.
Didn't see her there on the floor getting stabbed. Oh, missed it. Billy then stabs new daddy through the face with some kind of Christmas ornament, and his eye pops out the back of his head. Again, lots of eye stuff in this film. He then strangles his mother with Christmas lights and then beats her to death with a rolling pin.
Yes.
Then, he then uses a cookie cutter, and I mean cookie cutter. This thing's sharp.
Yeah,
he uses a cookie cutter to take chunks out of the back out of his mother's back, and he bakes himself some flesh cookies.
Flesh festive cookies.
Yes.
Fleshtive cookies.
Flavor shums. The police then arrive. Not sure who called them, but okay. And Agnes is still alive, FYI. And the police find Billy sat in the kitchen eating the flesh cookies with a glass of milk. And it is revealed that Billy was sent to an asylum and Agnes was sent to an orphanage and no one's seen her since. Back in the present day, 2006. And at the house, there's a loud thud downstairs. And everyone goes to investigate, except for Carl, who sneaks back into Megan's room, where Kelly is still snooping around. And she hasn't noticed the laptop yet. No, although now it's gone to a screensaver.
She's been in there an hour.
Although now the laptop has gone to a screensaver.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, downstairs, there's a random woman who has arrived. And apparently, she's Claire's sister. Her character is called Lee. But throughout my notes, she's called Claire's sister.
Yeah, I did the same. My name.
It's not till like the end they mention it, though.
Yeah. But she goes, I'm Claire's sister. And then she's like, at the very beginning, she writes like 2 Lee on that card.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and then instantly forgot. Yeah. Just wrote Claire's sister.
She claims she is a former sorority girl from this house, but Andrea Martin doesn't remember her.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's the year I started as house mother. I don't remember you. There's a bit of suspicion going on.
Yeah, and she just instantly changes the subject as well. Like, you think, God.
There's a lot of like really obvious red herrings throughout this film.
You're like, oh, this could be interesting later. It isn't.
Not. Back upstairs, Carl and his girlfriend Kelly are trying to call Megan's phone. Oh, and there's someone watching them through a peephole in the wall.
Yes.
There's lots of holes in this house that people can spy on each other. Back downstairs, the girls are grilling Claire's sister as to whether she really is her sister. Then the supposed sister of Claire, Lee, notices that there's a present under the tree addressed to Alpha Kappa whatever house from Billy.
Ooh.
It's a doll with no eyes.
Yes.
Yes, like in the flashback.
Yeah,
it's the same one. Yeah.
Doll. Agnes's doll.
Agnes's doll. While they're trying to figure out where the gift came from, Kelly and Carl are trying to figure out what the noise is in the attic. Then one of the girls downstairs pukes because she's been drinking throughout this entire thing.
Yeah, she's literally called Vom Girl for the rest of my notes.
In mine as well. And then the power goes out. This means that Megan's laptop, which went to a screensaver, then jumps to battery power, ending the screensaver and revealing to Kelly the image of her boyfriend Carl banging Megan.
Yep.
Womp womp. But Cole thought he phrased, oh, got away with it.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, damn it! Carl explains that this was before he met Kelly and someone stole his tapes.
Yeah, such a weird. He goes,
why would you phrase it like that?
Yeah, a guy at work was pissed off with me, so he released all my tapes. And she's like, tapes?
Tapes? Kelly says, how could you do such a thing? And he's like, what, have sex?
Just film all of it.
I had a life before you, Kelly. Meanwhile, Mary Winstead has found a hole in the wall, and in there is a box containing old newspaper clippings. Then, everyone is on the landing as Vomit Girl is vomiting, and Carl walks off and says, fuck all you bitches!
Yeah.
Why? He's got... He just hates them.
Yeah, he's a very, angry, aggressive...
Sometimes.
...man.
Personality seems to jump quite a bit. Yeah. As Vomit Girl is vomiting, she knocks loose some of the tiles on the bathroom floor, which may or may not mean something later. Anyway, they're trying to get the power back on, and Gretchen Wiener says that the main breaker is underneath the house. Of course it is. And that she agrees.
It does seem like a weird place to keep something.
Especially because they've got fuses on the wall.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, but this isn't it.
No.
It's all under the house.
It's definitely one that you're going to have to get.
I don't know, because we don't...
To get.
In this country, houses don't have, like, crawl spaces.
No.
So I don't know what's down there. Maybe it is?
I don't know. As far as I can work out, it's mainly, used as storage and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
Fuck, I don't know. So yeah, she agrees to go out there and try and turn the power back on. Vomit Girl is getting ready to take a shower, but the tile she knocked out of place is actually a peephole, and someone is peeping through. Why would you have a peephole there?
I know, it's
under the bathroom tiles. On the floor, under a tile. And it turns out there's another one, and the killer pops the tile out of place with its finger and then watches her shower.
It's a really bad, like, green screen CGI, CGI, like, the eyes. You can see it. It doesn't look like it's real. It looks like it's kind of hovering just above the floor.
But it's so, like, as soon as you do this once, they know.
Yeah.
Because they're going to, there's tiles out of place. Oh, there's holes in the floor. So assuming this is the first time they've ever done it.
Like, well, yeah.
Glad I put, even though they must shower every fucking day.
Unless there's a way of, like, grabbing that tile back.
Get a little coat hanger. God damn it. Should have tied it on string. So anyway, we're back with Gretchen Wiener, who's gone outside to fix the power, but also have a cigarette, because time's not a factor here. There's an icicle above her head, which drips onto her cigarette, putting it out.
Yeah.
So she throws it down a little hole in the porch. There's, no one notices all these holes.
I know.
There's little peepholes everywhere.
Why? Yeah, but why there as well? I mean, that's a big stone slab, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a step that she drops it down. So what is that, like a hollow step? That doesn't seem like a great design.
As she does this, she hears a noise from underneath the porch. And then back inside, Andrea Martin is comforting Kelly when Mary Winstead arrives with and presents them with the newspaper clippings she found, as well as the doll's eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she found all this in Eve's closet. Also, she has like a big picture of
Billy
on her wardrobe.
It's on the wall.
Yeah, it's like made up of loads of different like pieces of paper.
Like a collage.
Yeah.
But no one, I mean, it goes nowhere.
Yeah, no, literally.
In fact, the picture isn't even like mentioned. We see it, but it isn't like pointed out.
Yeah, was it the girl, whoever it is that finds all the stuff, doesn't even come down and go, do you know she's got a massive picture of Billy?
Yeah.
Just doesn't get mentioned.
Nope. And Claire's sister is still just going around the house looking for Claire. I don't think she's there.
Yeah.
Back outside, Gretchen Wiener climbs into the crawl space under the house, where she's attacked and killed with a garden trowel.
Yeah.
This wouldn't kill you. It's literally one whack to the back with a garden trowel. She's like, ugh!
Well, it's through the skull, though, isn't it?
Is it? I thought it was just in the back.
Because like, then they kind of pulls it up. And like her head's going like that. Yeah, it's definitely in the back of the skull. I even looked up what that's called. It's called a cultivator.
Oh, a cultivator. La. Meanwhile, downstairs, Kelly's phone is ringing and it's Gretchen Wiener calling. And they just hear screaming. And then a voice says, she's mad now. Okay. So they all go out looking for her. And they also notice that Eve's car is still outside. She never left.
Yeah.
Mary Winstead goes to investigate, but Claire's sister says that they have to find Gretchen Wiener first, which is true because no one likes Eve.
Yeah, literally. No one's bothered.
Yeah.
But she could be the killer.
Yep.
She hasn't left, and quite obviously left her car parked there for everyone to see.
Yep. Whilst looking for Gretchen Wiener outside, Kelly trips over absolutely nothing and notices there's some blood on the entrance to the crawl space. And when I say literally nothing, they don't even show what she trips over.
No.
They don't even show her feet. She's just walking on and goes, ah!
She gets the vapours.
But then, over at Eve's car, Mary Winstead opens the door and Eve's decapitated head rolls out. And Kelly just says, he's out here.
Yeah.
So it's not Eve. Red herring.
Yeah.
It's not Eve.
All of that sort of those signs just amount to nothing.
The signs that are there but not mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They go inside and try and call the police, but apparently 911 has experienced heavy call traffic because of the storm, naturally.
Yeah.
This is the thing with, like, especially modern horror films. They've always got to figure out some way that the phones don't work.
Yeah, the emergency services cannot get
to them. So, like, yeah. If phones worked the way they actually work in horror films, every horror movie would be over in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, you just instantly get hold of somebody to help.
Yeah. Like, just, yeah. There's always got to break their phone, got to lose signal, battery's got to die, blah, blah, blah. They've always got to fucking sledgehammer it into every, like, modern horror film. or that's set in the present day. She finally gets through to the police, but they're not going to be there for ages because of the storm. 2 hours, apparently, which seems like...
I know,
like... How underfunded is this police department?
Especially, like...
It's not like it's out in the sticks.
Yeah. She's phoned up and she's like, there's definitely 3 dead people here.
And the killer's still here.
And the killer's still here. And they're like, ah, 2 hours, maybe. Yeah. You think that, yeah, you know, was it because, like, they've got their hands full or something with other stuff? You think they'd make that a priority? Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, we've got a lot of, like, trees that have come down. Yeah, it's like, people. Did you hear what I said? Yeah.
There's a cat in a tree somewhere.
Yeah, someone snowed in. Oh, yeah. Cars stuck.
Oh. Murder's just not that high on the list, you know? But...
They argue, the group, they argue about whether to make a run for it or stand their ground in the house. And they decide to all stay, except for Andrea Martin and Mary Winstead. Their reasons for leaving, I can't remember. I wasn't really paying attention.
I think it's
this is a very boring film.
It's pretty much like they're the only sensible ones who are like, it seems like a stupid idea to stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, and she's like, oh, well, we're not going anywhere. We've got to find Claire in her fucking massive room.
Yeah. And Megan in her massive room.
Like, just honestly, this house is way too big.
Yeah, it's so big that we can't, like, they're not here.
Yeah.
If they are here, they're dead.
Yeah.
Leave.
Absolutely.
What the fuck?
No, she's like, leave no girl behind. That sort of thing. Yeah. And the other two are like, well, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So Andrea Martin and Mary Winstead get into a car outside, but Andrea Martin has to scrape all the ice off the windscreen first. While she's doing that, I'm assuming Billy, who's in the car, kills Mary Winstead off camera, though. You just see blood splatter on the inside.
Yeah,
you
see
inside.
A yellow eye at one point.
Yeah.
And then you see blood splatter everywhere.
Yeah. And then an icicle falls on Andrea Martin and kills her.
Yeah, that seems like a stupid death. And like, nobody kills her. She just kind of backs up and then looks up at the wrong time and gets a... what must be the sharpest icicle in the world. Not even falling from that great. It literally falls from this high above her and manages to just pierce her entire face.
Yep. Like, and Billy's right there like, huh, two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Inside the house, Claire's sister slips in some blood. And then Buffy the Vampire's sister gets the old bag over the head, but she escapes from not Billy.
Right.
Right.
I see. Now, you've watched the US version. Ah. I've watched the UK version. Oh. She has two different deaths.
Ah, so the one in mine,
yep.
She tries to escape out the window, but then the killer, who isn't Billy, throws a ice skate into the back of her head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, this was one of the facts that I found out. The one that I've got, she gets a bag over the head, and then he pops out her eye and eats it, but then jams the fingers into the eye sockets and just drags her off like a bowling ball, like screaming and helpless. Now, that was... Dimension Studios, which is was the Weinsteins at the time, I believe, they insisted that that was the one that they used. Glenn Morgan hated it, didn't think it was very creative, so behind their back, he filmed the other one with the ice skate, which then, upon release, the UK got the one that he hated and the US got the one that he wanted.
Oh, there we go. Mm. She's dead anyway. Buffy's sister
doesn't matter.
Is dead. Yeah. Meanwhile, Kelly and Claire's sister are in the garage trying to get out. I don't know when they went to the garage or how they got there, but they're inside the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Andrea Martin's body is on the other side blocking the door, so they can't get out.
That's
right?
It, yeah.
Also upstairs, Vomit Girl, who's just been sleeping for all of this because she's fucking drunk as hell. But so she's in bed asleep. But unfortunately, someone has climbed into her bed with her. It's the killer. That isn't Billy. There's two killers.
Yeah.
One's yellow, one is not. And they stab Vomit Girl with a glass unicorn. The same glass unicorn, I assume?
The same one from before, yeah.
Yeah, which somehow ended up in her room.
Yeah, just conveniently.
Yeah. Claire's sister and Kelly are now back in the house being chased or some shit and end up in Vomit Girl's room and start asking where Buffy's sister is. Even if she wasn't dead, she wouldn't know. Yeah. She's been asleep, drunk, passed out throughout the entire thing.
They're like, you're not at all cognizant. Where is everyone?
Yeah. Kelly calls Buffy's sister's phone and they hear it ringing in the attic. Then someone bursts in through the door, but it's only Kyle. This is when they notice Vomit Girl is dead.
Yeah, she's got no eyes.
Yeah. So Kyle's back.
Yeah.
So they basically kind of figured out that all of this shit is stemming from the attic. So... Kelly, Claire's sister, and Carl, with his flick knife that he carries, of course he does.
Yeah.
Because he's a bad boy. Decide to go have a look-see. Right? Heading up to the attic. Carl is grabbed and bagged before he even gets in there. And then he's stabbed with either some glass unicorn or something or other. Some ornament.
Yes, it was stabbed with the unicorn.
Yeah. By the killer, that isn't Billy. Right?
Yeah, this is...
This one looks like a dude in a wig.
Yeah, basically. And like... strong as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Literally bags him over the head and lifts him up by his fucking face, I guess.
So we've got two killers. We've got yellow jaundiced baby Billy.
Yeah.
And we've got a dude in a wig. Or just maybe it's a woman.
But yeah,
looks like a man.
Like, everything started before Billy even escaped from the hospital.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's quite obvious from the beginning that something's not right.
And yes. So there's a bit of a fight up in the attic. And then Claire's sister sees Claire's body in a chair and she screams, even though her entire head is covered with a bag. So
yeah,
how does
she
know it's Claire?
I don't know. There's like a label hanging out of her jumper or
it's
something.
It's like, oh my God, Claire. Is it her?
Yeah.
Oh, it is her.
So I guess she recognises her from her clothes, but then she does, like, by her own admission, they haven't seen each other for God
years.
Knows how long.
Yeah, they're not that close. Yeah.
She's like, oh, that's that jumper I bought you when you were 10.
Yeah, like these, yeah, they're not close, they haven't seen each other in years.
Yeah.
She's got a bag covering her entire head. She's like, oh my God, Claire!
Yeah.
Come on! The two ladies then watch the killer pull Carl's eyes out and eat them.
Mm.
Oh, and Claire's sister then falls through the floor, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And she's kind of stuck
fucking
halfway.
Idiot.
Yeah. It's like, ah, shit, like something Jumanji or something. The killer then lights some candles and reveals all the bodies of their friends sat around a Christmas tree with their eyes gouged out. The eyes have been used as Christmas tree decorations.
Very festive. It does. It looks nice.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Oh, and Eve's decapitated head is the star.
Yeah, so, it's the tree topper, isn't it?
someone liked her.
Yeah.
You go at the very top because you're my favourite. Then Claire's sister falls all the way through the floor. Kelly goes to jump through the hole, but the dude in the wig killer bags her, but in the process knocks over the candles, starting a fire. Kelly manages to escape and stab the killer in the eye with a fire poker.
Yay.
However, their eye isn't real.
No.
It's... Angus. Agnes.
Angus.
Hello there! You figured it out, you wee filly!
You wee lassies!
Yeah. It's me, the killer, Agnes.
I've come to fuck your Christmas late up!
Black Christmas, how about some black pudding? Oh, Angus. So yeah, it's Agnes, obviously. The one, the girl lost her eye. In case you hadn't fucking guessed.
Yeah.
And she says... Daddy's here, and Billy bursts through the floor, because remember, Billy is her dad,
yeah,
as well as her brother.
Kelly goes, your brother's not here, and she goes, no, but Daddy is. Brother Daddy.
Oh, Brother Daddy. And he crawls out like a tiny yellow Hulk.
Yeah.
He's
oh, it's Brother Daddy.
Still,
hey,
you're still...
Billy! You big yin!
So you still got the jaundice, you wanna watch how many drams you have this Christmas, boy! Come back on the good stuff! Don't tell me what to fucking do! I have as many wee drams as I fucking want! I can see perfectly fine. Everything's just yellow. So, Kelly and Agnes, or Angus... They fight. And remember, there's a fire going on in the background.
Yeah, it's starting to catch on everything. Like, the tree's going up.
And then Agnes falls down a hole and drags Kelly with her.
Yeah.
So they're like now behind the drywall.
In the wall space,
yeah,
where Billy could have
space.
Left the attic at any point.
And Billy is climbing dune to get Kelly. And basically, Claire's sister uses a small dumbbell to smash through the wall of the bedroom she's landed in or gone to or whatever,
yeah,
to get Kelly out just before Billy grabs her, and then a flaming Christmas tree falls down the hole and sets Billy on fire. Oh no!
No!
Oh! And he goes up like shit because he's full of whiskey.
He's been on the good stuff.
And then the girls throw paint thinner on him, and they properly goes up, and then they escape. We then cut over to the hospital, and there's a reporter basically just recapping the entire movie in front of a camera.
Yeah. At this point, we haven't seen Billy or Agnes die. So no. You know what the rules are.
Yeah. We then cut to the morgue. Let's see where this is going. And we've got a grouchy morgue attendant hitting the booze. And he's got Billy and Agnes. He's got their bodies there. But Billy ain't dead. Half his yellow face is burnt off, though.
Yeah.
And Billy kills the morgue attendant with a bone saw. And then he goes and gets Agnes, who's also not dead. He just unzips the bag and she's like, "Are they there? Are you doing, pal?" Did they even check for pulses?
All right, this is a completely different ending to the one I've got.
Ah, right, well, I'll do this.
Okay.
We then cut over to Kelly, who's also in hospital, with Claire's sister, who's with her. And Claire's sister finally opens up the present from Claire. It's a watch, yep. And it says on the back, "Family forever." Anyway, Billy and Agnes are now crawling around the air ducts of the hospital because they just know their way around. They love any small spaces. They love it. They're like octopuses. They just get in.
They're like John McClane.
Yeah. So Claire's sister, who at some point was with, oh, Kelly has to go. She goes and gets x-rays, doesn't she? So she goes off to get some x-rays. And she then, Claire's sister goes back to Kelly's room to check on her because she heard something in the air ducts. Mm. But it's not Kelly in bed. It's Agnes pretending to be Kelly. So she jumps up and she kills Claire's sister just by breaking her neck.
Yeah.
Right. Kelly is then taken back to her room after the x-ray and she finds the back of Claire's sister's new watch in her bed covered in blood.
Does right? not seem at all perturbed.
No.
By this.
She's... Oh, and also just before this, when the nurse leaves, she can't open the door. She's like, "Oh, this door's always... I've told him about this so many times. This door, it's always stuck in it." Oh, then she gets out.
Yeah.
So they set up that the door don't really work, right?
Okay.
Kelly, once she finds the thing covered in the blood, she then hits the emergency button in her room. But the people in reception don't notice this because everything is being drowned out by carolers singing in reception. And then, obviously, the dodgy door, so Kelly is stuck in there. Then Agnes climbs out from the ceiling and to attack Kelly, but Kelly uses a defibrillator on Angus's face,
yeah.
Which shocks her and also apparently works like an iron.
Yeah. It
burns her face.
I know, like it's like a prolonged period. That's not how defibrillators work. Like,
it doesn't scold you.
They put them things in shopping centres and stuff. Yeah. Now. Could you imagine the amount of the injuries? Like, oh, I just kept it on him for 25 minutes. Is that right?
So she's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead. Then, what? Well, she's dead. But then Billy climbs down from the ceiling. He was just waiting. Right. Apparently. He's just like...
Just watching.
Yeah. Just going to see how she does on her own. Yeah. Not double team him. Yeah, you go first. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll have a go.
Training!
So then Billy climbs down from the ceiling. And by this point, though, Kelly has managed to open the door. And anyway, they kind of fight in the hallway. There's like an orderly and a nurse there, but they're not interested. And then they fight at the top of the stairs. And Kelly throws Billy over a ledge. And he lands on a Christmas tree, impaling him through the star. The end.
Right. That's way how it better ends. Than the ending of mine.
This is I think I've seen this film a few times, and this is the only version I've seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know there was a US and UK version.
This is like the ending I've got is just like they gave up, like did not care. Like basically they go to the hospital, and then they're in the room, and that's when Claire's sister opens the present from Claire, and it's the watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go and we see Billy's burnt up body. Then the doctor comes in and says, "Oh, we need someone to ID Agnes's body."
Right.
So Claire's sister goes, "Oh, I'll do that." And they take her out. It's not Claire. The body they've got isn't Agnes. It's Claire.
Like, right.
And she goes, "Oh, I can tell it's Claire even without the bag on her head."
So my estranged sister I haven't seen for years. Yeah. I can tell it's her body.
Yeah.
Burnt up body.
No, she's not burnt. Up.
Right.
Like she goes on her, so she goes running back to Kelly's room, and that's when Agnes is in the bed pretending to be Kelly, and she snaps her neck, and then that's when Kelly finds the watch and is like, it's got blood all over it, but she's like, "Lee," rather than, "Oh my God, there's fucking blood all over it," but then She gets out of the bed, and that's when Agnes kind of jumps out. Where does she come from?
The ceiling in
my
version.
Yeah, the ceiling. I think that's it. Well, she just appears from nowhere, I think. And she goes, and then fucking Kelly runs over, tries to press the emergency button, but the carol singers are doing their thing. So, and then that's when she runs to the door and she can't open it. But in my version, it's not been explained why. I was like, who's locking that door?
In my version, they make a whole song and dance about it with the nurse. It's not like, even this darn door!
She's just like, you're just supposed to think, oh, she's just locked in for some reason. And yeah, then with the defibrillators, and then Kelly's parents come pick her up and that's it.
Oh.
That's literally the end. Like, she kills her with the defibrillator and then it's the next day or
so. So Angus lives!
Well, no, Agnes definitely dies. Oh, and you see Billy die as well, so like on the operating table. He just dies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds... I mean, this film isn't great, but that sounds worse. That's
like a terrible ending.
Yeah.
And that's the ending I watched is the one that's on Amazon.
One I watched was... This is on YouTube.
Yeah.
All right.
I should have stuck with it, but it was so bad.
The quality is not good. It's only like 360 or whatever. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It was a hard watch.
Yeah. So, thoughts?
it's not a good film. It's a bad film. I didn't hate watching.
Yeah.
But it's
got like the Yellow Hulk is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny as fuck.
Intentionally.
Yeah. They did their best with the kills and stuff. Like kind of like they're not great, but they're still entertaining enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story's pretty poor. And the whole incest subplot unnecessary.
But that's why he's so crazy.
Yeah, I was watching it, because I've sat there on my
own. Have you ever fucked your own mother? It'll send you nuts.
But yeah.
I got her pregnant.
That's my wee bairn.
She's my sister and my daughter.
My sister and daughter.
I'm going crazy.
Come to brother and daddy. But yeah, like I was sat there watching that like on my own in my flat, like, and reacting as if there's other people with me. I'm like, what? Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, it's
Ooh, yeah, I've seen it a couple of times and it's dumb, it's sort of just enjoyable. But I think where I had to watch it, it's obviously write this, and this felt longer, this version. Like, oh, this film really isn't good, isn't it? When you really pay attention, this sucks.
It is one of those, yeah, towards the end my notes get more and more sort of just
vague,
like, short,
and then they lived happily ever after. But the film does, even my version definitely does end quite abruptly.
Yeah,
like 30 seconds after Billy dies, he's just looking at him like, and it's just done.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, well, yeah, my ending's even more abrupt.
Is there any trivia for this, Mr. Smith?
I have. Obviously, we've done the one about Michelle Trachtenberg's character having two versions of her death.
Yes.
So that one's out the window. So Oliver Hudson, who played Kyle, he was picked for the role in a wildly professional manner. Basically, during the auditions for the character, like, Glenn Morgan didn't really know who he was going to cast, had no one in mind. But Glenn Morgan's 14-year-old daughter was there, and she pointed at him and screamed, "That one." So they cast Oliver Hudson in the role.
Okay.
It just seems like a weird...
let's listen to this 14-year-old child's opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Look, fucking that one! Like, just weird. So Glenn Morgan, the director, has reportedly disowned the film.
Fair play.
He was asked at one point if he was happy with it, and he said, "No way, it's schizophrenic because Bob Weinstein came in and urinated all over it."
If in doubt, blame the Weinsteins.
Yeah. So yeah, that was what I could find, really.
Oh, cool. So that was Back Christmas. Any comments? Did you do the thing? He's in charge of the Instagram now, by the way.
Oh yeah, I didn't do the question thing. I'll remember to do that next time.
Unbelievable. Fell at the first hurdle.
I did the post. I did a post about it. But I didn't
No one reads captions.
Right, we've got one, which is, from Jimmy O.C.
Remember Jimmy O.C.?
I was of the understanding that this was supposed to be terrible, but I really enjoyed this overtop reimagining. It doesn't have the slow burn of the original, but it does its own thing with some of the narrative, creating a backstory that sets it apart and adds extra intrigue and bad taste imagery. The eyeball motif is repeated and then hugely dialed up, resulting in some freaky visuals and some inventive gore.
The eyeball thing is quite cool. Like, they go hard on the eyeballs.
Oh, yeah. They commit to it. 100%. But yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. That's it then.
That's it.
That's it. Merry fucking Christmas. Mm. We'll be back next year with some stuff. Oh, I suppose we should probably finish the Friday the 13th ones.
Oh yeah, we've still got five. What's it? Five next, wasn't it?
Oh my god, yeah, maybe.
A new beginning.
Yeah. We might have another look at Twilight Part Dos, because.
Oh.
That was a good episode, though.
Isn't 50 Shades of Grey still on the list?
Oh, God, I forgot about that. So, plenty more to come. Oh, and also, the strike is over, so News to Drink 2 might come back.
Yes.
That's if you didn't know, that's why we can't stop doing it, because we're like, well, what's the point? Nothing's actually being released.
Yeah.
It would have literally just been news, strike News to Drink 2.
Yeah.
But that's all over now, thank God. So we shall have a look in the new year at what's happening.
Could even be some more Ezra Miller news to drink too.
God damn. So that's it. Thank you for this year of listening to us. We had a Spotify Wrapped, but I just didn't really look at it. I was just like, cool.
All right.
We have some more listeners.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Welcome.
Welcome, children. So, thanks. And we will see you next year.
Cheers. Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze. No, really. Please leave. The party's over. Get out.